I'd like now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Houston Johansson. He is a member of the City Charter Review Commission. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, Mary Charlotte. How are you?
It's great to have you on the air. I am fine and glad to see you here. Now, the city charter is something that I, until recently, didn't even know existed. It's basically the constitution of the city of Santa Fe, so to speak.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And I wouldn't feel bad, Mary Charlotte. I think many people in the community are not fully aware of the existence of this document or what it is. But we have we operate under a home rule system here in Santa Fe, so it means we have a lot of autonomy vis-a-vis the state government. And the backing of that home rule system is the city charter. It is very much like the Constitution of the United States. It outlines all the powers that government will have here in the local government system. It'll outline the different powers that the members will have. So it talks about what the mayor's powers will be, the council's powers will be, how they will interact with the populace, the rights that we have vis-a-vis that. And it outlines all that very nicely so that we can then have a functioning government based upon that.
Now, I take it this has not been in existence for 400 years.
No, we did not have one until sometime in the 90s. I apologize, I don't remember the exact date. We moved to a home rule system then and put together a first city charter that was then amended in the mid-2000s. One of the things that came out of that review process in the mid-2000s is actually things like public financing and automatic runoffs. The document is quite important in the sense that it, you know, puts these kinds of things into play.
So it's a document like the Constitution that is a living document. It's apparently longer than the United States Constitution.
Yes,
as these things can be. But can be amended every so and so many years. And you are actually on the commission that's looking at, is it functioning well now? Does it need any changes?
Yeah, so as I understand it, under state law, every 10 years, we have to appoint a commission to look at the city charter, solicit public input, and then make recommendations for how to update it, if there is indeed updating needing. There's no mandate that we have to change anything. The last one, like I said, was in the mid-2000s. New commission was appointed last December. I am one of 9 members. Each councilor got to appoint 1 member, and the mayor also did. We have had 4 meetings. In those 4 meetings, we've gotten a lot of input from each other and a handful of concerned citizens who have come to us to voice their opinion about what they think the charter should look like. We also now have put in place a process for how we're going to move forward with the remainder of the meetings, and we're very eager to really get into the nitty-gritty of these issues. We've got about 20 issues that we've heard about so far. Some of them will simply not be doable because of state laws. Others will require more information before we can make a decision. But we really would like to get more people in the room telling us what they want. You know, as with all things in city government, turnout is often very low. So you get the same 5 or 10 concerned citizens in the room every time, and that's great. We love them. But it would be nice to have a bigger cross-section of the town coming in. And to that effect, we're actually going to be going out to the different city council districts and having meetings there in the hope that that'll make it easier for people to attend.
And that's one of the reasons we're having you on the radio today, is to make people aware of this, that if they want to go to these meetings and let their voices be heard, they can do so. Now, one of the things, I mean, we have this weird situation right now where, for example, Washington and Colorado have legalized marijuana, but it's still illegal in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. So there's this question of federal law superseding state law. What happens?
Mm-hmm.
There's the same, presumably, dynamic going on here where you've got all kinds of federal and state laws, and then the city starts doing its laws, policies, ordinances, charter items. Do conflicts arise, or are mm-hmm. you there to prevent those kinds of conflicts arising?
You know, it's a really good question, because it is something we've begun grappling with. For instance, there's been a lot of talk about, say, having term limits put on councilors or on the mayor. At the moment, we are barred from doing that. State law forbids municipalities from having term limits on their elected officials. There was actually a big Supreme Court case, New Mexico Supreme Court case, a number of years ago in Albuquerque, where Albuquerque tried to impose these limits. The Supreme Court ruled that they could not. So if we were to go ahead and do that, it would be one of those things where we would either be testing the waters in anticipation of potentially going against the state again in a legal context. It would be that we're anticipating perhaps working with our legislators to get the law passed, or it could simply be that we put it in there in anticipation that when it does change, we're ready to go. The other option is we can always do something called a policy statement. So Policy statement is something that doesn't have any necessarily legal teeth. It is simply an articulation of what we as a community want. So, for instance, if you read the charter, you'll see there's a section on human rights. It isn't necessarily something that is legally binding, but it voices our support of treating people well and having dignity for all humans and things like that. So there are issues that come up where there are legal issues that we're going to run into. Our job is basically to weigh whether or not we want to wade into that territory, if it's truly worth it, and then decide if we do want to wade into it, do we want to make it actually part of the charter or do it in a policy statement. A lot of that will be driven by from what we hear from the community. You know, if only one person comes in and say they want term limits and 10 others say they don't, that's probably a good indication that this isn't worth, you know, garbling up the charter in anticipation of some battle or something else like that. It's also worth keeping in mind that all of our recommendations will then go to the city council, who will then have an opportunity to review it once more, solicit more public comment, before it then goes to the ballot in March 2014 so that we all can vote on it. So ultimately, we'll be the final deciders.
Right. Oh, that's very interesting. So we're talking about the charter of the city of Santa Fe. Now, what are some of the hot issues that are coming up that citizens are voicing their opinions about?
Well, you know, some of the bigger ones we've heard, of course, is things like gun control. You know, there's been a lot of talk about what we should do around that. There, of course, again, there are some legal issues with us attempting to regulate guns on a local level. So there's been talk about maybe looking at, you know, magazines and the size of those. There's been talk about putting a policy statement in there. There's a lot of debate about how we should approach that. There's been talk about marijuana. There's a lot of stuff around elections. You know, one of the bigger ones is putting redistricting into the hands of an independent commission so that the council isn't the one deciding that. Term limits is one we hear again and again and again. The issue of automatic runoffs come up a lot because, as you may know, it is in the city charter that we would have an automatic runoff system.
What's an automatic runoff?
It basically means that if you do not get a certain number of votes, like if you and I or three of us are going at it in an election, if we don't cross a certain threshold, the top two have to have an automatic election against each other. So you have to cross.
So if nobody gets over 50% or over 45% or whatever it is.
Yes, then nobody's won. So then the top two from that election would then have another race against each other.
Okay.
That has never been implemented, even though it's in the charter.
Has there been a moment where it would have been implemented? I mean, has that situation arisen?
Well, the reason it hasn't been implemented is really comes down to equipment. The equipment that we have access to that I believe is owned by the state does not have the software to allow this to be done. Nor does it have the ability to do ranked choice voting, which is another thing that is supposed to be implemented but has yet to be. So of the things that were implemented, that were put in the charter before, the public financing has worked out, but some of the stuff around how we actually count voting has not made it through.
It's a software thing, essentially.
That's my understanding. And the city doesn't really have the money at this moment to buy its own voting equipment. So then there becomes a question of, well, we could do it by hand. So there's a lot of, even once the charter is amended, there then becomes the actual execution of the policies that can get difficult, as this would illustrate.
When you look at the charter, I mean, it has a lot of things that are not in themselves policies at all, but they're about results, again, like you're talking about results of elections and petitioning the government and recall and things like that. But we have recall provisions for elected officials within the city.
Yes, we do. You could, if you felt that your councilor or the mayor was doing a very poor job, after their first year in office, you could go out, and I can't exactly remember what the threshold for signatures is, but you could initiate a recall process against them. If you fail, you cannot attempt to recall them again during that term.
Right.
And to my knowledge, I don't believe anyone has actually ever been recalled. That may be incorrect, but I don't believe anyone has been.
Right. And certainly not in the time that I've lived here that I recall, and that's been quite a while. So when you go out into the different districts, which you're about to do, and get people activated, where are you going to be? When are you going to be? What are you going to tell people that this is all about? Because it's so interesting to me that there are these documents which basically really shape our lives in ways that we're not conscious of. But when you look at them, they seem kind of boring and bureaucratic, but they really are quite important.
Well, I wouldn't lie. They are a little boring and bureaucratic, and that's just how, you know, when you get the lawyers involved, that's how it's going to be. And that's probably for the best. You know, it makes things a little less ambiguous, or that's the hope. Our first district meeting will be this Thursday down at City Hall. That'll be the District 1 meeting. Then I believe we're going out to the Southside Library in 2 weeks. I think the next one will be at the Chavez Center 2 weeks after that. And I apologize, I cannot remember where the fourth district meeting will be held. But we do have a Facebook page and a Twitter page that you can find all this on. Our Facebook page is Santa Fe Charter Review Commission, and our Twitter page is SF Charter Review. So we will be posting all this up there. There is also, if you do a quick Google search for Santa Fe Charter Review, you can find the website that's been set up for us by the city. When we get in there, you know, we will, assuming we have new faces, that is, at the meeting, go through a little brief history of what we're up to. And then what we intend to do is at each of these meetings sort of begin delving into the issues that we've already heard, so that we can begin hashing those out while also soliciting new input. So at the next meeting, I believe we're going to be going through the election issues that we've heard about. So things like redistricting, things like, you know, having a strong mayor system, things like term limits. We'll begin to really hash those out.
What's a strong mayor system?
So right now the way we operate is we have a strong council city manager system. So most of the political and decision-making power rests with the council and the city manager. The mayor has very limited power. He can appoint the city manager and he can vote in a tie, but that's about it. Most of the power is really with the manager and council. There are some that think we should move to a strong mayor system where he would effectively become more of the chief executive of the city, have tremendous, you know, much more decision-making power, would be able to participate in all voting matters, things like that. So it would really shift the power away from the manager into the hands of an elected official. There are pros and cons on both sides. And actually, I should say, that's one of the struggles we're really having. Is there's a lot of interesting ideas out there, like this strong mayor system. We as individuals on the commission do not necessarily know enough about it to make a good decision. We also don't necessarily have enough time to do in-depth research on 20 issues. So we've been trying to get people who come to us with these ideas to go out and maybe bring us some additional information, bring us pros and cons. So if anyone out there, you know, thinks they know a lot about one of these issues or comes to a meeting and thinks they know a lot and would like to present information, I would very much encourage them to do so. That would help us immensely, because otherwise we're kind of shooting in the dark.
We're talking to Houston Johansson, who is a member of the City Charter Review Commission. Are there issues that come up, and I think a lot of these things come up in city council meetings that are where ordinances are being considered and things like that, but around, for example, things that didn't exist 20 years ago, mm-hmm. changing technologies, internet, cell phones, stuff like that, those are more things that have to do with laws and ordinances mm-hmm. than with kind of charter issues.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that we could, you know, hear about or talk about or discuss in these meetings that really ultimately do become more of a policy issue for the council to tackle. So, you know, how would you, you know, if we were talking about building, say, Wi-Fi throughout Santa Fe, that really becomes more something that the city staff and the city council needs to address, not us at the charter level. One of the risks of tweaking the charter is that you just start throwing everything you want in there, and now you have this 100-page document that is impossible to grapple with. I'm of the belief that we should keep it as simple as possible, as to the point as possible, to make sure that it's easy to understand and gives us the basic guiding principles we need to have a functioning government, not clutter it up with every idea that we've ever had. So a lot of things we, you know, there may be things that we simply say we're going to defer that to council, and, you know, if this group wants to pursue it, they should take it to the council.
Under what circumstances in city government does the charter even get referred to? Like, there's some issuance as well in the city charter, it says, and then something gets resolved. Does that happen?
It does. I mean, I don't know that it happens all the time, but so, you know, if somebody was going to launch a recall, for instance, against the council, they would likely immediately begin referencing that. I think it's one of those things that whips out more when you really get into the nitty-gritty of daily politics down at City Hall. You know, there are probably certain times when councilors are, you know, moving in a certain direction and a concerned citizen or city staff might come in and say, you know, yes, that is all fine, but our charter says this, this, and this, so you can't go ahead and do that. And that also comes into play when we start dealing with state laws. You know, this whole gun control issue, there's a lot of concern that anything we try to do will simply be struck down because of the state constitution and its firm assertion that nobody can regulate basically the possession of firearms.
Right. This is all the stuff of the workings of democracy, which is very interesting because I was in a neighborhood meeting the other day, and people were yelling at each other, and one of the city people said, democracy is messy, and this is what it looks like. And when you look at when you look at stuff like this, it's like this. These are some of the sort of skeletal structures of this kind of crazy, messy democracy that is, especially on a local level, a lot more influenced by citizens than you might ever guess.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I say, you know, we're sitting in these meetings. We absolutely want people to come and talk to us. We're very much going to listen to everything they say and take it very much in consideration. And if a lot of people show up in support of this over that issue, that's going to carry a lot of weight compared to if nobody shows up and it's just the nine of us sitting in a room twiddling our thumbs. Yeah, citizens can have a lot of input here. And that's why, earlier in the show I said, we would love to get more than the same committed 10 people in the room with us. They're great people. I love seeing them every time. We'd like to have a bigger cross-section in there so that we're making decisions that really reflect, a broad consensus in the community.
Now, what is the timing? Is there a certain point by which any recommendations to change or amend the city charter, a timeline by which that has to be done?
Well, our goal is to have it on the ballot in March of 2014. To make that happen, we pretty much need to submit something to the council by early July to give them ample time to look it over.
Of this year.
To look it over, to make any revisions they see fit, and then to send it on to city staff to get it on the ballot. So we're looking at, another, what is that, 4 months, 5 months, something like that. Of working on this, which I think is a good amount of time. We've set ourselves a reasonable deadline to have enough time to go to all the districts, have follow-up meetings, but we're not just giving ourselves an endless blank check to do nothing, which is good. So, early July is basically our, as a commission, drop-dead date. But there will be another opportunity to go haggle over it with City Council if there are still concerns.
Houston Johansson, you ran for city council last time around. You were really representing the youth vote in a lot of ways and sort of the whole issue of young people in Santa Fe, which I know is an ongoing interest of yours. Are you planning on staying in politics?
Well, I did run last year. I had a great experience with it. I mean, it truly was a transformative experience going out there and meeting with voters and competing with Councilor Boucher. And I very much do want to stay in politics, particularly local politics. I see this as being, the most important level of government that we can focus on. And especially as we watch our leaders in Washington continue to twiddle their thumbs and allow things to go to hell in a handbasket, I do believe that we as communities really need to work together and strengthen ourselves. So I do want to stay involved. I would like to someday run again. I don't know when that will be or for what position that will be. I certainly would love to come back on this show when I decide and let you know and let your viewers know. But
I always have all the candidates on. It's really great.
I'm sure it's great to see all of us, especially last time. We had a great slate of candidates across
everybody
the city.
Everybody was good. It was the most extraordinary city council election ever because everybody was awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, I was very excited. We had a lot of good candidates and more than one candidate in each district, which isn't always the case.
Yeah.
Which is actually, speaking of fun elections, there is a Santa Fe Community College Board election next week that your viewers may or may not be aware of. And there is another great slate of candidates for those two at-large positions. So
nice.
I encourage everyone to go vote in that election on Tuesday. And, like I said, there's a lot of good candidates for that. But I do want to stay involved. Just my involvement with the Charter Commission should show that. I have little doubt that my running for office helped, put me in the limelight enough to get appointed to this position, and I'm very grateful for that.
I think it's just, I don't think I would go into politics myself for all the tea in China. And that that whole way, I don't know what it is, the sort of political animal thing, you have to really enjoy it.
Well, there is, it's got its ups and its downs, but for me, it's the one-on-one with the people in the community that really inspired me and made me want to keep going. I mean, yes, some of the meetings are a little dry and boring and a little tedious, but when you get out there and you start talking to people about what they want in their community and their hopes and dreams, it's truly inspiring, and it makes you really want to go the extra mile and work really hard, and, I love it. Like I said, I don't love every aspect of it every moment, but on a whole, it's a great experience, and, I certainly can't blame you for maybe not wanting to do it. You do kind of get stuck out there under the limelight, under the microscope, rather, quite a bit.
So, once again, if people are interested in coming to these meetings, there's a bunch of them happening, and you can go online and I guess just put in your search engine Santa Fe City Charter or Santa Fe Municipal Charter, and you'll be able to figure out when and where all of these different meetings are.
Yes, that's right. I mean, if you do a quick Google search, you'll be able to find, for Santa Fe Charter Review Commission, you'll be able to find the website that the city set up for us. And actually, we're going to soon enough have a function on that website to solicit input from members of the community, so you can go on there and actually type your ideas into a survey we're going to put up. So if you are unable to make a meeting, that'll be another way for you to participate in this process. We also do have a Facebook page, as I mentioned, Santa Fe Charter Review. And then we also
Facebook.com/Santa Fe Charter Review.
Yes. And then we also have a Twitter page, which is Twitter.com/SF Charter Review. And we'll be posting regular updates of when our meetings are and what's happened at those meetings on both of those things. And our next meeting is this Thursday at 4 p.m. down in Council Chambers in City Hall. That will be our District 1 meeting. Certainly, if you're not from District 1 and want to come, please do. Like I said, we'd love to get as many people in the room talking about what they want as possible. And that meeting, I believe, will be specifically focused on election issues. Not that you can't bring other ideas to the table, but we're going to begin sort of reviewing the, 10 or so ideas that we've gotten around elections, like, you know, redistricting in a independent commission, like term limits, things like that, and begin weighing the pros and cons of all those.
And let's get some computer people to show up and some hardware and software people to show up and maybe see if they've got any ideas how some of these things which are already in the charter mm-hmm. could be implemented
yep.
that we supposedly don't have the equipment for. Maybe there's some creative ways of solving that problem. Houston Johansson is a member of the City Charter Review Commission. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Have a good day.